right, starting nine, episode 19.5. This is a fucking emergency, Dallas Braden. We got some big time news. Finally, something to talk about here that's actually substantial. We have Shohei Ohtani has selected the team in which he will play for. It is the Angels, which, before you give me your take here, I just want to say this is so fucking predictable. I jokingly predicted the Angels because I was like, huh, where could a superstar player go where they won't get noticed? Oh, where's Mike Trout? Oh, he plays for the Angels. Shohei Ohtani, perfect fit for the Angels. If this guy doesn't want to get noticed and he just wants to be a superstar but not actually be a superstar, welcome to the Angels. We have just what you need.
This fits the bill. And he's got a fucking stealth bomber on that squad with him. And what I mean is he's got a guy that will allow him to fly under the radar. And that is Mike Trout.
Yeah.
The aforementioned ballaholic.
Yeah.
The best player in the game. That's who he's suiting up next to. That's who he's showering with. That's who he's taking BP with. That's who he's throwing live sim games to. He's throwing to Mike Trout. He's facing Mike. So it's going to be about Trout, and it's going to, sure, early on, it's going to be about Ohtani and his assimilation and just the adaption and how all that's going. But once that comes and goes, that early wave, it's going to go bye-bye because you got the two best players in the game out here in L.A. And frankly, anybody east of the Mississippi could give a shit less about him after 10 o'clock East Coast time.
So I wrote, the blog that I wrote about this was Shohei Ohtani to sign with the Angels, which sucks for baseball. And my whole theory was Mike Trout coming into this year was either the MVP or the runner-up for the MVP in every single fucking year that he played. And Aaron Judge comes along this year after half a season, went into the home run derby, and we're talking about whether or not Aaron Judge is the face of baseball. Why do you think that is? And then I dragged Giancarlo Stanton into the conversation. So when we talk about Aaron Judge, it's like there's a lot of talk about the market that he plays in, the Bronx, New York, all the bright lights in New York City. We talk about Aaron Judge. He's 6'7". He hits near 500-foot home runs and all that other stuff that goes along with just playing in New York. Did you know that Giancarlo Stanton is only 1 inch shorter than Aaron Judge? He's 6'6", and Judge is 6'7". And then you have Stanton. Pretty sure he hits near 500-foot home runs, too. And he's 2.5 years older than Judge, who's 25. Stanton's 28. So there's not that much of a difference between Stanton and Judge, only Stanton has played longer, yet we've never had the conversation about whether or not Stanton is the face of the league. Why are we talking about this? Because if Shohei Ohtani throws over 100 miles an hour and he can hit bombs, he is a spectacle. So what is best for the game? Being in a market where fans are going to pay attention. And I've seen all the arguments from fans countering my take being like, well, isn't that what you need is to spread the stars out amongst the game? If you can't draw attention to Mike Trout, then like that's it. That's the barometer. Oh, right. That's the measuring stick.
Here's the thing about the game, though, Jared. She's a cold, cold-hearted gal, all right? And as soon as she's done with you, she's going to wait for you to pass out, roll over, and she's going to go knocking on your roommate's door. And if he's ready to go, she's rolling with him. That's how the game treats the athlete, all right? So what's best for the game is not what Ohtani's trying to figure out right now. He's trying to figure out what's best for him.
Well, I know, and I'm selfish. I'm admitting that I'm selfish.
And I totally understand the need, the desire, the want for this spectacle to be on this grandiose stage that would be the Yankees, Yankee Stadium, because how many times has that network ran those games on Sunday Night Baseball and it's Boston, New York, Boston, New York. Like we get force-fed that, right? We get force-fed that. And it is. It's good for baseball. It's bad for baseball when either one of those teams are shit because that rivalry just doesn't have any meat on it.
Yeah.
You know, people are over it. So now you've got a guy like this who is he's a star-studded attraction, but he's going to be on the West Coast. And I think it's a challenge now to these people that call themselves fans. If you're a fan, you're going to pay attention to this guy. So you're going to stay up a little later. Maybe it's only to catch the first AB or the first three innings or whatever it is. But even if that's the case, that's what Ohtani has identified. And he knows, I'm not going to have the pressure. Because here's the bottom line. If Mike Trout goes out and isn't Mike Trout, We're not worried about whether Ohtani is Ohtani and is living up to the bill. We're going to be asking what the hell is wrong with Mike Trout. And he knows that. He's aware of that. And plus, the flight to home is a hell of a lot shorter on this side of the rock than it is all the way over there in Beantown or in New York, right?
Yeah.
So this is a game, I said it before, he's playing chess, all right? That's why he had these organizations give them their best take. What do you got? Court me. I want to hear it all. I want to feel it all. And clearly Anaheim came out with the golden or with the glass slipper.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. As a baseball fan, and I, again, admit that I'm very selfish about this, I wanted him to go to a market where everyone can see this guy. Whether that's the Yankees, whether even the Dodgers, I don't care about the West Coast thing. I don't really factor in the whole, you know, game starting at 10, getting over at 1 a.m. out here on the East Coast. Like you said, if he's good enough, people will find the guy. But
yep,
with the Angels, we already know that that is not a market that's good for building stars. Like Mike Trout is the measuring stick. If that guy can't get over on a national scale with that organization in that market, nobody's getting over. He is like the second coming of the best players of all time.
But what if Ohtani, all right, and I'm not going to, I guess I am stereotyping, but only this is purely based on experience. I played with a few different Japanese-born players, and I've played in Japan a few different times. So I understand. I understand how they operate. What if Shohei Ohtani shows up and he's like, you know what? I'm fucking dyeing my hair. I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to rip heaters in between innings in front of the camera. Well, I don't give a shit. And what if he just starts coming out slicing and dicing and is just this like brash, unapologetic performer? Like what if that's what we get and that he just completely slaps the game across the face and is like, surprise, bitches. You thought you were getting this buttoned up dude who just wants to be a legend over here. Well, I'm going to be a legend on the field, off the field. I think if he shows just an ounce of personality, just a shred, that is going to get the ball rolling in terms of him becoming a star. Obviously, the production has to come first, in my opinion, because we've rallied around this idea, right? We're all excited. He's sold the tickets and he's here now. So we got to see him perform. And then I think if a combination of his performance and him being likable, him just showing a side of humanity that maybe a lot of the other Japanese guys that have come over here haven't, then I think, they might have something on their hands, but it's about the personality. Cause I've said it time and time again. That's why Mike Trout doesn't get the love that we think he should get, that we know he should get. And same thing with Kershaw. They're just personalities who don't want that. They don't want to do things that way. And they just happen to be baseball players. So that's why we feel like, fuck, man, I wish we could get some dudes who would just let their hair down, be a partier, like a Lenny Dykstra type personality. Well, in this day and age, we're not going to get that. So the closest thing you can get to it is someone throwing 102 hitting 500-foot fucking jacks, ripping heaters in front of the camera well, and having a great fucking time. That's what we get out of Ohtani.
Hey, here's what you're saying, Dallas, implicitly. Is that you're 100% disagreeing with what Jared is saying. Because you're saying that it really has nothing to do with Anaheim or wherever the hell the Angels want to say they play. It has to do with the fact that Mike Trout is a boring person. And that, yes, if Ohtani shows, as you said, even a little bit of personality, then the fact that he went to the Angels is going to be irrelevant. I mean, isn't that what you're getting at?
That's kind of exactly what I'm getting at, is if what this is, I guess, my argument to people who think he'll be under the radar and won't be able to become a star. I agree with that surface level. I do. And I totally understand why that opinion holds water. I'm saying if you look at the reasons why they don't have somebody to gravitate towards, even in the form of the best player on planet Earth, it's because Trout is not a guy who's going to be blowing up your Instagram, blowing up your Twitter, all these social media feeds, doing all these ridiculous things, things that, you know, show personality or whatever. He's just a closer to the vest type of guy. And frankly, when you are the new Derek Jeter of your generation, you're not really afforded the opportunity to be this sort of weirdo if you wanted to. You have to come in to your own with that already being a part of who you are, a la a guy like Noah Syndergaard. When Noah Syndergaard shows up and tells you, I'm going to throw it 100 behind your head, and I dare you to come meet me half, just even fucking halfway to the mountain. You're like, you know what you're getting out of that guy. So you're all in. or you're all out, one of the two, but there's no wavering. And so for Trout, he's just not polarizing one way or another. I mean, if you love baseball and you like baseball, he's your favorite fucking player, damn, and he should be. But there's people that have personalities that guys rally around for other different reasons aside from production, and that's just where Trout separates himself. He's always going to be a baller. He's just not going to be somebody that when you see him in an interview, you're not going to be like, you know what? I want to rip the bong with that dude. I want to go to the bar with that dude. I want to rage like that. Just that's not something you're like, yeah, him.
But you can make that same case for Judge, though. Like what about his personality is so great? He doesn't really showcase his personality. He's just big, and he hits balls.
No, but it's for Judge, it's been the fact that people that have played with Jeter, played against Jeter, side by side with the man, right, that have come out and said, I mean, his fucking manager said it, Jared. Joe Girardi, a guy who did both, said, if I've met anybody close to this guy, it's Aaron Judge. The way he goes about his business, the way he is just so stoic.
But that's boring.
In his dealings with the media. You're right. But he's a physical specimen. So that's that difference, right? You can just physically, you're like, he's going to hit it a million feet. For Trout, you're like, he's going to make a great catch. That's going to be awesome to watch. But he doesn't like wow you just with the eyeball test. So there's a lot of different reasons that people get excited about things. And for me, like Shaq, when Shaq rolled into the league, being the physical presence he was, it became very clear very quickly. Ain't nobody rocking with this dude. It ain't happening. And so he was a draw, not only because he's talented, but because he's a 7-foot whatever behemoth just boxing out little kids. It was awesome to watch. Yeah. So that's what you get when you see a guy like Judge step up to the plate. You're like, this could go 1,000 fucking feet. And it doesn't matter how fast it's coming in. With Trout, you have the opportunity to see something special every at bat, every game, and you know that. And that almost kind of allows you to wander to these guys who we don't really know what's going to come next.
So, but from your standpoint, you're saying that it's not so much the market, that if Shohei Ohtani has this personality, this larger-than-life personality, he could become a star regardless of the market that he plays in. But looking at from what we know, this guy is not going to be that at all. I mean, this guy is not going to be like the Dennis Rodman of the MLB.
No,
it's just not coming. So this is just going to be another boring guy that's very talented that plays in a market where no superstars get noticed. Like that's he might just become the Mike Trout of pitchers where it's just, yeah, you're great, but like you're not a draw.
I mean, like one of the big things about the LA market, and I've said it before, is there's so many other things going on. There's just a completely different bubble of life out here that people are infatuated with, and it doesn't lend itself to just become like a suburban rah-rah Angels fan, you know, and that's why you don't have the fan bases and the attachment that you see in some of the, you know, more rural areas like, you know, St. Louis, Heartland, middle of America. Tremendous baseball town, tremendous sports town, period. And LA, while it enjoys rich history, the fan bases are you know, small in terms of the ravage and savage view. And so I feel Ohtani having a personality because he's a foreigner plays a huge, massive role for me because this is somebody new for all of us to get to know, for all of us to enjoy. And we'll be paying attention for that very reason. But the fans rallying behind him or whatnot, like I don't see that becoming a thing unless he does show a little bit of personality with the production. Because if he comes over and he's just super vanilla, a la a Judge, well, the fans are going to be like, oh, cool. Like there's not many of them in the stands that appreciate 102 and then a jack from the left side. Not many of them appreciate that.
Right. Yeah. So that's it. Shohei Ohtani to the Angels. I guess we'll see how it plays out. I am not holding my breath here on this guy showcasing his personality. I don't think he has one. I really
don't. Real quick, before we go on, before we move any further, let's plug him in the rotation.
Okay.
And let's give him 250 at bats. What do you got out of Shohei Ohtani? Because he's in the AL West, right? He's got the A's. He's got the Rangers. Mm-hmm. He's got the Astros. He's got the M's. So, what do you think? I'll start. Let's say he makes 25 starts.
Yeah, I was saying 25 is a fair number.
25 starts. I got him winning 8 to 10 ball games.
Okay. I think that's fairly reasonable. I
got him winning.
I'm going to get very specific. I think he's going to have an ERA of 3.82, which is not bad. It's not a superstar, but that's,
superstar.
I mean, it's like, that's not bad. I'll take that. I don't think
that's
he's
a more than serviceable back into the rotation guy nowadays when you consider the usages of the bullpen.
Right.
I'll go on record right here on the starting nine, and I will take the under, and I will bet you a Chipotle quesadilla.
Deal. You're on. You also have to remember that this guy is a rookie, and there are a lot of hitters that he's seeing for the very first time. So that could
and
be.
I'm going to tell you right now, that bodes well
for the pitcher.
For us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. We'll see.
And it's 100. It's 100. That's what I want to see. Because it's not going to be 100 every time. All right.
Is it 100 with movement?
It doesn't really look like it. Mm. Man.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a lot of angle on it either.
It's got a nice slide piece, though.
He's got a great slide piece.
Yeah. So we'll see.
And a little.
Yeah. But what do you think? If he gets 250 plate appearances. Over under on 17.5 homers.
I'm going to take the far under. I'm going to come out and say it. We're going to watch him get absolutely abused, embarrassed, and undressed
really
early on. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking a combination of velocity and movement and depth and tilt on shit that this guy has never even seen.
So then he's over under 250 plate appearances. Does it get so bad that they're just like, listen, buddy, you're a pitcher?
No, they signed him. They're giving him. That's why. Damn it, Jairus is my game. We gave him 250 at bats, and we gave him fucking 25 starts. All right, so he's getting those ABs. He's getting them. So, no, he's not hitting 17.5 jacks. That's way under. Like I said, he's going to get abused early, and we're going to be like, "Wow, is this guy like? What were we thinking here?" I watched Cespedes just get undressed very early on by breaking balls. Some average. But at that point in time, the game was making its transition into the 92, 93 mile an hour sliders. And it was ugly early. And then it got ugly for everybody on the mound later. So the adjustments can be made. But early on, you might think, oh, shit, did we buy the farm here? But I don't see him hitting for power in that small of a opportunity.
So what would you say? 8.5 home runs? Is that a fair?
I would say he'd be right around, yes, hovering 8 to 10. 8.5, I'll go over just because I really want to see it.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah, I think he is going to underwhelm offensively. I think that it's not going to be long before we abandon Shohei Ohtani, the hitter, and you're a pitcher.
Yeah, because one thing you got to think about is the whole league is going to be watching him. He's not going to be able to readily watch the whole league. He's going to be preparing for an individual every day, right?
Yeah.
And in your off days, guys are going to be able to just, hey, you know what? You want to go, like after we get our run in, you want to go and check out Ohtani tape? Let's go watch Ohtani tape and see how he does with, you know, 1-2 sliders. Right. Like, and now everybody, now we've got three guys in one rotation that are plotting your death.
Yeah.
And everybody across the league is going to be doing that. So it's going to be the adjustment that we just talked about, how it fares far better for the pitcher. So he'll do better on the mound against guys that have never seen him, but guys that are getting a feel for him. Buckle up, Ohtani.
All right, so there is your emergency Shohei Ohtani podcast. He is an angel. He is an angel out on the West Coast. He's got his small market. He's got his lack of eyeballs. He's got his... He's got his major league team. I don't want to be overly negative about it because I'm still rooting for the guy, because if he succeeds, I would like to see the spectacle of the guy that can throw triple digits, the guy that can hit bombs at the same time, draw more interest to the game of baseball.
It paves the way for the Christian Bethencourts, for the Hunter Greens, for the Brennan McKays of the world. It paves the way for these guys to start becoming two-way commodities. We're going to see the entire landscape of the game change, Jared. The bullpen arms are getting paid. Time for the two-way guys to start becoming relevant and getting breaded up too.
Absolutely.
Yo, I'm just glad that I've safely positioned myself as the optimistic Ohtani person on this podcast, because it's going to be fantastic for starting nine shit talking.
Oh, yeah.
Way under 3.8 on that ERA.
Yeah. 3-8, 3-8's where I'm at. 3-8-2. Write that down. 3-8-2 in his rookie season, which, again, that's still not even really that bad. Like, I would take that and be happy with it for a rookie season for this guy, especially if he's busy in the cage half the time instead of preparing for his next start.
We'll see.
Yeah, we certainly will. We'll have more reaction to Shohei Ohtani, to the Angels, plus a ton more on Thursday when episode 20 of Starting Nine drops. That's Dallas Braden. I'm Jared Carabas. Shout out to our producer, Justin Havens, the J-Hay Kid. We'll see you next week.
Holla.